Salut! Oh, wait, that's Major Intended.
Newsflash. The world's going to be destroyed by aliens in 20 minutes. Y'all better hide. Oh, sorry, wrong. Wrong show. Hi, everybody. This is Andy Lopez. And I don't know what I'm doing here. You're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. Your host, that would be me, I guess, Andy Lopez. So today, continuing my show. This is really basically an online class kind of thing, you know, that I do. So I'm always, I just put up a new video up here, which I'm trying to figure out why it won't let me close my window, but I'm closing it anyway. I don't care. So you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic on bbsradio.com. What I feel like today. This is a song I'm working on right now. It's called Lunar Mood. You're the first people to hear it. Not ready yet. Okay. Like I said, it's not ready yet. And I don't want you misleading that I'm an expert at this, but I'm just learning. It's really a cool program I picked up a few years ago called Acid Pro. It's by Sonny. It utilizes a paintbrush. You can actually paint, and you can tell what instruments you want, so you can paint music. I always associate sound and color together, because there is a certain sound is always associated with a certain color. In other words, a certain color is always a certain frequency. Anyway, on today's show, I'm doing how to care for heat, drought, damaged roses, fruit trees, and other plants. Many of you folks have been emailing me and or calling. Don't call the 800 number, by the way, folks, because it only makes you leave a message. Right, so you call my office number, which is my home number. And please don't call me on my cell phone, because I can't answer so many different things on the cell phone. Just the ideal scenario is to email me, andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. I say it slowly because many people have called me and said, your email is not working, it's bouncing. As a matter of fact, you can't find your website. So I make them spell it. And sure enough, I think 90% of the people spell Gardener wrong. The other 8% spell Invisible wrong. And only 2% of you people spell it right. When I did another radio show on the brick and mortar in Santa Barbara, I used to say, email me, right? And then they would call me back right on the show. There's something wrong with your website. We can't get it. Well, they spelled Gardener wrong. And I'm not going to spell it wrong for you, because then it'll get stuck in your head, and that's how you're going to spell it. Just think of a gardener and spell it right. Gardener, right? Not like in James Gardener, but Gardener, Invisible Gardener. So it's Andy Lopez at InvisibleGardener.com. Might as well go to InvisibleGardener.com. If you're listening to the show and you're not getting my newsletter, then you're missing out on a lot of things. My newsletter will, for example, let you enter in the contest. This is the last, what's going on here. This is the last Saturday of the month. Yep, the last Saturday of the month. So this is your last chance to enter in July's contest. Next show, I will announce the winner. The winner will get $100, my Don't Panic It's Organic book in color is $100. It's not available anywhere else but through me. Okay, so it's $100 because it costs a lot of money to print it in color, and you will love it. It's a color version. You'll also get the regular black and white version, which is only $20. So you're going to get $120 value. plus the shipping, right? It's not like you don't have to pay shipping. I'll send it to you, and you're going to get a lifetime membership in my club. I call it Club IG. It used to be called Invisible Gardeners of America, but then as soon as I got on the internet, people saying, "Wait, I'm in France or I'm in Europe. I don't want to join the Invisible Gardeners. You have Invisible Gardeners of France?" So I call it, I changed it. I was, at the time somebody did that, I was watching a commercial for Club Med. I went, "Oh, I'll call it Club IG as Invisible Gardener." So that's the name of the club, Club IG, not Club Big, okay? Club Big, or people have all kinds of things. Club Med. Club, no, stop it. Club IG, Club Invisible Gardener. Maybe I should just call it Club Invisible Gardener and spell it out. I don't know. You get a lifetime membership to my club. Normally it's $20 for the digital version. That means, you know, you don't get any physical books, or you can pay $55 and you'll get the $20 book sent to you and the lifetime membership. It's also shipping. I sell the color version right now. It's on sale for $55, but pretty soon I'll be putting it back to $100. I don't really want to. It's a very rare. I only printed a certain number of them. After that, there won't be any more of them. That's why I'm giving out two books, the color version and the black and white version. I don't want you to destroy the color version. I have a previous book, Natural Pest Control, Alternatives to Chemicals for the Home and Garden, and people use it as a manual. You use it, you wear it down, pages you write on it. So that's why I sent out the black and white version. You can, and it's a large enough to work as a manual. You can write on it, can do things. That's your manual you want to use. The color version I would handle with a glove, save it. I would even put, you know, a friend of mine went and bought a cloth and put a cloth around it, a thicker cloth, and protected it. Now it's in a little case. Trust me, in a few years you can sell that for a lot of money, because the artist Cindy Berry is going to be famous. It's my daughter-in-law. And when she's famous, you're going to say, "I have a signed signature of her artwork." Right? I'm not kidding. Of course, I'm famous. Yeah. So when I die, you can say, "I have a signed signature of his book," which I have a long ways to go. I have a few more books lined up to come out. I have 21 books. As a member, you get all of them. You don't get the print version. You get the ebook version. I have Dances with Ants, which David Wilbanks did the editing. People really love that. I told you during my last Ant show why I call it Dances with Ants. I also have the Natural Rose Care book, the Organic Grower's Guide, how to keep mosquitoes from biting you. That's going to be one of the shows coming up. I have a Rock Dust book. I have a bed bug book, right? I have natural tree care, natural fruit tree care, natural lawn care, healthy pet. You name them, I've probably already done it. So the new ones, the one I'm working on next, it's going to be called The Invisible Gardener. Just that. It's going to be a collection of my last 7 years of a column I've been writing. Another one I'm working on is called Energetic Healing. So I do a lot of music, right? And the music is for healing. It's using energy and sound and frequency. It's called Energetic Healing. I think I probably have a few more books in the work. I'm not really sure. So if you want to talk to me, that's what it's all about here. If you happen to have some roses or trees or fruit trees that have been damaged by the recent drought, even fires, you know, if you have the trees that are damaged by fire, you should give me a call. You're having a problem figuring out what to do, give me a call. We use Skype here, so it's BBS Radio PR for Skype, and he'll let you in. But the numbers to call otherwise is 888-627-6008. Or a direct line. I guess that means you're in a general direct area here, you know, maybe in California. 323-744-4831. Again, my email is andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. You can listen to the show. I'm not sure how you're listening to it, because you can listen to the show as a podcast. You can go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, click on radio show, listen to it right from there. Or you can go to BBS radio.com/don't panic. It's organic. That's my show. You can listen to it from there. One of the things that I've been forgetting to mention to you is they have an app. BBSradio.com has an app. And it's a wonderful app, which you can get right off of that page there on BBSradio.com. And then you just download the app, whether it be iTunes or the other one. I forgot which one it is because I don't have it with me. But it's a wonderful app. I use it all the time to allow me to. What you do is I look for the little kid with the glasses on and.
BBS Radio PR for Skype.
There it was. It came right over. I caused an infinite loop, and you can just listen to it right off through your phone. It's Android, by the way, Android phone. I have a friend who says, "Well, I don't have any time to listen to it." Well, I told him about my listener who is a captain of a submarine. I told him about another listener who is a police officer who drives a motorcycle, has it plugged into his headphone. I told him about a few other people who have been able to listen to it, and they have very, very busy lives. And you can listen to it while you're driving. Just plug it into your headphones, into your earplugs, and listen to it. Think of it as an audiobook. But it's really very beneficial to have the app, so you can get it right through your phone, okay? And then you can call me. The number is right there. You can call right on your phone, too. I don't see any reason why you can't. And I know Mr. Engineer will tell me if there's somebody calls or if he's going to go outside for a smoke. Say, Andy, I'm going out for a smoke. I'll be back in about, 20 minutes or so. Don't do anything I wouldn't do, you know? Something like that. Uh-oh, it's crashing. Okay, so let's start the show, I guess. Contest. You want to enter the contest. The only way you can enter the contest is through the newsletter. Just subscribe to the newsletter, click on enter contest. Then when you get the newsletter tells you how to go about entering the contest. I changed it a little bit, and it also tells you what the winner would get. Pretty soon, I won't be giving the book and the membership away. Pretty soon, what I'll do is I might just give away a T-shirt because I'm getting some new Don't Panic, It's Organic T-shirts, some Don't Panic, It's Organic hat. I have a really nice Don't Panic, It's Organic coffee cup. Other things like that I might be giving away. A year's supply of doggy food. No, that's the wrong show. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so for today's show, we're doing, look at that. I love it when the thing crashes and then it just says, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" Okay, so I got quite a lot of calls recently here in Malibu because we had some places were like 107 degrees, you know? And I do a lot of work with the Rose Society, and the Rose people were freaking out because the roses were just shriveling up, the leaves were shriveling up. But it's also the fruit trees. Trees have all types of trees are having this type of damage. A lot of these trees are not meant to be growing in this desert-type environment because we are a desert here. And so they get damaged by the Santa Anas, which is really hot winds, or just the temperature. Just sitting out there in 107 degrees alone will fry anything. And so what people want to know is, what do they do? Do they prune it back? Is it dead? What's going on with the plants? So the first thing I want to say is don't prune, don't do any pruning, right? Don't touch the plant at all in that sense, okay? For your roses, the leaves will shrivel up, the trees, vegetables. And vegetables, when that happens, you might as well just chuck the vegetable, because if your tomato plant dries up, your lettuce dries up, you're not going to be able to really do anything with that, right? Tomatoes is another thing too, you know, in the sense that, yeah, people have tomatoes at 107 degrees. What do you do? So I'll cover that in a second. But mainly, you don't prune. If you prune, you're just setting yourself up for more damages. You should leave it alone. Only time to prune it would be after you know the heat wave is over. And in this case, we're looking at probably November. Okay, October, November. Even in October, I would probably say, well, how hot was it last year? Because September is usually the hottest months of the year here, so I have a feeling August, September, and October are going to be very, very hot. It may not be 107 degrees, and then it might. I would bet on it that it is. I would wait until November to prune them back. That gives, if you have roses, that gives roses a few months to put out some new growth. It depends where you live at. Here in California, we have very almost non-existent winter times. You don't want the roses to grow straight through the winter time and keep growing in the spring. You don't want to do that. They all need to be pruned back. Your fruit trees should be pruned back, and the trees, stuff like that. But you want to wait until the heat is definitely over with. With trees and fruit trees, well, with fruit trees, you're really dependent upon. I have all kinds of things going on here today. I live, you know, with other people. Let me just go ahead and close my cage. I live in a jail cell. I'm let out every once in a while. Yeah, you don't want to know what happened. It wasn't my fault. I didn't know I had the gun in my back belt. Okay, so it was an AK-42. I carried it around. What? I go rabbit shooting. Anyway. So the roses, you could get away with pruning the roses back in November, right? It'll put out some new growth. It'll probably do some flowering by December, and it'll flower like crazy in January, okay? Then you're going to have to prune it back like you normally would. Here in Southern California, somebody's typing. Okay, I don't know what he's going to say. Here in Southern California, we have to, I recommend pruning your roses in February, the beginning of February. It's all about timing. People prune their roses really early, like in December and January, figuring they'll start early. Yeah, it starts early, but you're timing it with the pests and the bugs, including the whiteflies. Tell me on the other. Yes, I will let you know if you get a caller or I'll go for a smoke break. It's like talking to myself, you know what I mean? It's like that happens to me all the time. It's a matter of timing. So you want to prune it first week in February. If you prune the first week in February, the roses have been pruned back, the aphids and whiteflies are coming out looking for stuff. They won't find the roses because they haven't really started growing yet. Now move on to other things. Otherwise, if they're already growing, they will find the roses. Same thing with hibiscus. Hibiscus, you normally don't prune it back every year, so you don't have to worry. So if it gets damaged by the heat, leave it alone. You prune it back in November when you know for sure that the heat wave is over. It will put out new growth. And it's actually very good to prune it back, the hibiscus, once a year. Very light pruning. Reasoning for that being that hibiscus, unless you really know how to take care of hibiscus, they will get attacked by the whiteflies, and whiteflies overwinter on the hibiscus leaves, and you've pruned back some of the hibiscus leaves, you're going to be pruning back a lot of the whiteflies. So the roses are one of the things you want to do the timing with. The fruit trees is another example. Depends upon the fruit tree, right? So if you have citrus, and they really get burned like that, you know citrus produces year-round. So, again, you wait until the heat is over with, because the last thing you want to do is encourage new growth. So if it gets heat wave again, the leaves are already burned. It's not going to do that much more damage, okay, to the leaves. There are other things you should be doing to your plants, and I'll go over that in a second. But with fruit trees, you can prune in November. It'll start new, like citrus, you'll start new growth. If it doesn't get hot enough, you'll get fruit again early in January or February. Okay, other trees, whether it be pine, palms, whatever, prune in November lightly to only the damaged areas. and then they would produce new growth. So what should you be doing to them while they're in this state? Okay. So here's the thing, like with the roses or any other plant, you do not want to chemically fertilize them. Do not use any of the chemical fertilizers at all, period. Reason for that is it's going to encourage rapid new growth and it will burn them in the heat. As a matter of fact, the fertilizers will say do not apply if temperature is over something. Okay. Organic fertilizers are slightly different in that they don't encourage rapid new growth, and you don't want to apply any type of fertilizer right away. Okay, you should apply an organic fertilizer come November when you think that the plants are ready to start putting out new growth. You give them a good organic fertilizer, especially since they've been stressed out from all this damage. You don't want to give it more stress by giving a chemical fertilizer. It's like a drunk man. Here's another shot of beer. Right? So a good organic fertilizer with all the micronutrients and the microbes will encourage healthy growth. You do that in November. You do it again in early spring. Give it a good organic fertilizer. You're going to have to realize that this is going to happen again. It's going to get hot again. It's going to get burnt again. Right? So, you know, you'll learn what to do next time. But here's the thing that I want to maybe talk about water real fast. So what you do with water, because I also say, well, how do I water during this kind of temp? First you want to do is you want to make sure they're on a drip system or a subsurface irrigation. A few people have told me, I don't like subsurface irrigation because how can you tell if something's broken? Well, the way you can tell something is broken if you have mud. If it's too much, it's water. You're walking and you get mud, and it's like you're sitting, standing in mud. You can tell if something's broken. On top of that, if subsurface is buried, and you may not be able to tell it entirely, you have bushes and a lot of plants and stuff, you always have one line that you can check with a pressure regulator. So when you install the subsurface irrigation, if there's four lines or four units, you have at the very end of the subsurface irrigation or the drip, there's a little unit you can screw in, which is a pressure gauge. It tells you the pressure. If you have zero pressure, then you have water leak somewhere. It should be at 20 to 30 PSI. Anything above that is too much pressure also, so you need to reduce it, get a pressure compensator to reduce it down. But you put it on a drip system, and what you want to do is you want to water at night, not every day. If you water one day and the next day is totally dry and it's burned down, no water there, you ain't got any soil. So it's important that you apply rock dust, compost, and mulch. You put a nice layer on it. You do that a couple of times a year, so you have this. The soil is protected from the sun. Plus, this nice mulch compost mixture will hold water longer. It won't dry out faster. The trick is to let it dry out in between watering and then water. People water every day is no good. You're destroying the soil. You're destroying the microbiology of the soil. You might as well just kill the tree while you're at it because the tree's going to get really super stressed out. Won't have any food to be able to come back. And it'll just be attractive. It'll come back to some extent, but it'll be home for many pests and diseases. So if you put it on a drip system and you have been applying rock dust, compost, and mulch, then you only, depending where you're at, for example, here in Malibu, twice a week is more than enough. Okay, I have lots of places, twice a week they get water, but they get a good deep watering, and the rest of the time they don't. Maybe a little hand watering here and there, something things that are newly planted or really stressed out. A lot of things are not shouldn't be around in this type of temperature anyway. So no amount of proper watering are you going to get them to come back because they do not like the heat. But if you want them to survive, you do a good deep watering, not more than three times a week, depending upon your soil. Twice a week is perfect. Trees normally only need once a month watering. A good deep watering once a month is normally enough for them. But when you talk about drought conditions and the fire and the heat and all the stress, twice a month is fine. Deep watering. Watering trees is different than watering your lawn. People water the lawn every day and they say if the trees are getting watered too, that's wrong. Damaging this, the deep root systems of the tree. Trees should always be on their own system. So they go on once every other week. Once a week, if you're really, really having a hard time with it and something wrong, that's because you're not applying any soil or compost, right? So you want to do rock dust, compost, and soil. So you have something to work with. Then you can spread out your watering. Normally, it's only certain times of the year you may have to water more. The rest of the times of the year, one good watering a month will do it for these trees. Citrus is loving once a month or twice a month if your soil is poor. You should help the soil better, rock dust, compost, and mulch on your citrus, along with a good organic fertilizer. Other thing that you should not be doing is foliar spraying them with any type of chemical fertilizer. They will burn your plants when the heat gets up. Just spraying water in the middle of 100-degree temperature will burn your plants. It gives you some idea, right? So what I do is if you're going to foliar spraying, you spray them at night, to say 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. You can spray them with any combination of natural things that will not burn your plants when the heat comes around the following day. Compost tea is one of them. You can learn to make compost tea and spray it. You spray it at night. By the morning come, everything would have been dissolved and absorbed by the plants. This is what I spray during this time of year. I also do what is called deep root watering. So you get a deep root feeder, you hook it up to your hose. I hook up a fertigation unit, which is a unit you normally plug into your fertilizer system, your sprinkler system, and you put fertilizer in it. So it's called fertigation, right? Irrigation fertilizer. Since I don't use fertilizers, I put compost tea in there, I put my super seaweed in there, so that when it goes out through the line, the sprinkler system, it gets it, but also too, they have a unit that you can plug right into your bib and put your hose on it. So when you're spraying, it comes right through the hose. See, so you can put your compost tea in there, super seaweed in there. It will dilute it down. That's another thing you can spray. If you don't have my super seaweed, which is on sale, by the way, you can go and buy liquid seaweed and spray that. You want to go lightly. The rule of thumb is to go lightly. So you spray it at night. Ideally, what you do is you do the deep root feeder. You inject it into the soil. Any water that's below ground, you want the water to be below ground. Any water above ground will disappear. See what I mean? So, I do super seaweed, which I inject into the soil, and it's going to stick around longer. That's why you want the drip system. You want the drip system to be covered by the mulch. Subsurface is perfect because it's below ground. Keep the water below ground. Then the above ground stuff, you can actually, at night, you can go out with a hose and hose them off a little bit, give them a little break, that kind of stuff, but it will dry off by the morning and it won't damage any of your plants. Another thing you can do is you can protect the plants. There are lots of different ways to protect the plants. You can get, if you're driving, like here in Ventura, you go driving around, you'll see these people, the farmers have these big greenhouses that they set up and move around. There's like half a circle. You don't have a, and you can buy one of those and put it up over your roses or put it up over your fruit trees, and then take it down afterwards when the heat is over with. You can go a little further than that. You can say, well, this is going to happen on a regular basis. I'm going to basically build a greenhouse. Greenhouse is the best way to grow year round, and it won't hurt, so when during the heat, so when it gets 100 degrees out there, 107 degrees, you can have a shade cloth that goes up over the inside of the greenhouse to filter out the light, You could even have a little air conditioning or vents to cool it off. Lots of ways it can be naturally kept at a natural temperature so it doesn't heat up inside. You don't have to do air conditioning, but you can do a way to stabilize the temperature inside. The ventilation systems, you can get, it opens and closes automatically. You know, when I built a greenhouse in Colorado, it was the opposite. My goal was to keep it warm enough so you can actually warm it up. So lots of, but growing with a greenhouse, you can grow year round. You can grow your vegetables and your fruit trees in there, your medicine, whatever it is you're growing, and you won't bother, the heat won't bother you. Plus, it's protected from animals who are coming around for water. I want to mention the name, the number again is 888-627-6008 or BBS Radio PR if you want to talk to me. So, it's important to, you know, that to understand that we're going into a really, really long period of, well, you know, climate change. And I talk a lot about, I haven't really talked to you too much about climate change and what's going, what I think is going on. So I'm going to be doing a show. I'm not sure the name of it, but I might be calling it WTF. Okay. We'll figure it out what that means later. But, and I will explain to you what's going on from my point of view in terms of what is happening, what I think will happen, and well, how we can deal with it, how we can prevent the bad things from happening. But the reality of it is that we're going to be going through some heavy drought periods, some heavy cold weather periods, some heavy hot weather periods. The hotter it gets, the colder it gets. That's the way it works. It's climate change, so the climate is going to be going back and forth. So if you have plants from vegetables to flowers to whatever, you have better start thinking long-term solutions to this, because you're going to be having this problem year in and year out, like fires. You have to learn how to deal with fires. You have a greenhouse. What are you going to do with a fire if the fire comes your way? Lots of things you can incorporate. One of the things I did was I put a sprinkler system around my fence. So there's a fire company, I could turn the sprinkler system on, and it protects the, you know, it goes in the air, it puts water in the air and so forth. Lots of different ways you can protect your property. It's one of the ways you can also cool things off. But a greenhouse is an important aspect of growing year-round. You may want to start figuring out a way to incorporate, make your own greenhouses. These are lots of different types of kits you can buy nowadays. If you're a good carpenter, you can build one. But think more and more and more about growing in a greenhouse. You do raised beds. And I lived in Boulder, Colorado. And like I said, the biggest problem there wasn't so much with the heat, even though now, right now, the heat is a problem. So you're going to go through a heat problem and cold problem. It's going to get really hot and going to get really cold. So the greenhouse really helps with that. It really does. The winds won't be able to heat it as hot. You can control the watering more. You can control the temperature. You can grow, actually do a raised bed inside a greenhouse environment. And you can control the bugs. So that's something you should think about and try to figure out a way how you can incorporate that. Especially if you live in this type of environment where we're going through these fires and we're going through all these things. However, if you can't and you're going to be just continuing to grow outside, then you have to, you can do like row covers, which are a smaller solution to if you have a vegetable garden. You can do a simple row cover. Row covers is just that. They cover the row. The little wires, it's like small PVC, half a circle, you set them up, and they have these cover, and the cover are various different grades of shade. So some are white, which help to block the heat and provide some light. Others are like 20% shade, 30% shade. They provide some shade and break from the sun. There are larger covers you can get. You can put over a raised bed. One of the advantages of doing a raised bed is that you can literally turn it into a little greenhouse. So I have built little enclosures for a raised bed. I use a PVC pipe, and you can glue them together. Actually, you don't glue them together because you can just take them apart when you're done. And I would throw a shade cloth over it. There are lots of ways to tie it up. The shade cloths will provide the protection from the sun. If it's during the wintertime, I do some type of natural plastic that will cover it to protect it from the cold. But so a raised bed is an ideal way, what I did was I had a greenhouse and next to it a raised bed all the way around it, because if I was keeping the greenhouse warm, it kept the raised beds warm too. One of the advantages, one of the things I did was I had, you want to grow next to your house so that you can use the house as a way to protect you from the sun or from the heat or the cold. So where you plant your garden is important too, in the sense of where you get full sun all the time, like with the tomato plants. Tomatoes like 6 to 8 hours of sun, but not 6 to 8 hours of burning heat sun. So if you have burning heat sun, you can provide. Think about planting them in a way so that the sun starts to doesn't shine on them directly. Just say in the morning, and then by 1 or 2 o'clock, it's in a bright environment, but not in direct sun. So you want to think of how you plant them up. If you're planting them in a raised bed, you can easily put a cover over them. That's what you want to do. And your roses, well, you know, most people don't plant roses in greenhouses. They're in the ground. So it's real easy to make a little miniature cover for them that you can put up. If you have a lot of roses, you make a little bigger one to cover the area. It's not that hard to do. With a PVC pipe set up, you get like a half-inch PVC pipe. You can cover, I've done like 6 to 8 roses, 10 roses easily enough. They get staked, the cover gets staked in the ground, and I remove them at night, put them up during the day. So you have to be real clever in how you grow. I know people who live in the city, for example, they grow in abandoned parking spaces. One person has been growing. They're different. It's an abandoned parking lot that goes up. It's 4 stories high, empty. So he talked the owner into doing raised beds on there, and he actually has reflected light that is reflected into the areas of the different levels. And the top floor is beautiful. The rest of them, they have different things growing. So, and you can do something like that. A lot of people grow on their rooftops. So again, you can do a greenhouse cover. In case of a roof, you actually should build a greenhouse over the roof. And then you can control the amount of light the greenhouse gets. So you're gonna have to be really creative in coming up with ways to protect your plants from this type of heat, okay? I'm assuming I have a couple. So most of the questions that I got are all pretty much the same in the sense of what should I do with my plants. So again, you want to do nothing other than make sure that they get a good deep watering. Once or twice, maybe at the maximum 3 times a week. See, one of the problems with watering on a daily basis, right, aside from you damage the soil, is that heat and water makes diseases. Diseases will spread like crazy because the water evaporation, all diseases are soil borne, they're in the soil. So if you water a lot, a lot of diseases need heat and water to come to life. So there you go. So you're just going to be spreading diseases left and right, whether it be roses, they'll get the other roses will get diseased, whether it be vegetables, whether it be fruit trees, whatever. And then when you try to grow there again, you're going to have to deal with that problem. And it's very bad with reticulum, very bad with phytophthora, very bad with a lot of diseases that are really, really dangers will kill your plants. Same thing with the fruit trees, and same thing with your trees. So you want to Keep the water below ground, right? That's one the reason why I say you'll keep the water below ground, because you're not going to be watering the diseases or the pests. Because the pests will come out from water, they'll spread the disease. The disease will needs to water in the heat. Whoosh, you got problems. So you keep that below ground. That's one of the reasons why you do a mulch. That's one of the reasons why you have a subsurface irrigation or a drip system below ground. Keep the water below ground. 75% of your water gets evaporated if you do above ground. So you're using more water. Below ground, you're going to use less water. There are devices you can buy that you stick in the ground. Tells you how much where the soil is dry. I use my device called my finger. Stick the finger in the ground. If it's moist, don't do it. After a while, I stop sticking the finger in the ground. You can look at the plant. You can tell if it's fine or not. If the plant is dying, you know, it's from no moisture and it's really looked like it's suffering, don't water it in the middle of the day. Wait until at night and then give it a good watering. More than likely, it's not on a drip system. It's on some sprinkler system or a bubbler. Even a bubbler, they give you a lot of water real fast, just say 5 minutes of water. You soak it, but it isn't deep enough. A lot of that water will just evaporate, right? So if you're using a bubbler, turn it down and have it go on for longer so that it goes down deeper. And then don't water it every day. You see, don't water it every day. Three times a week at the most, and that's too much. You can train your plants to do twice a week, provided you have decent soil to work with. Okay? So let's see. So that's pretty much it for today. So I'm going to be having a wide variety of shows coming up. One of them is WTF, which really means what the frack, right? I used to watch Babylon 5. And that's going to be, you know, environmental alert. I call it environmental alert. So I'm going to talk to you about, on that show, I'm going to cover Ice Age and global warming. Right? I'm going to explain to you what's going on now, what's happening recently, right? Recently, what's going on, and why we had better do something soon. I wrote an article called 10 ways to kill all living things on Earth within 50 years. I originally had called it 10 ways to kill all humans within 50 years, but the problem is that humans take everybody with them, everything with them. So it's 10 ways to kill all living things within 50 years, and I'm actually thinking of changing it to, it originally was 100 years. It's up there for 50 years. I'm thinking 20 years, and pretty soon I'm going to say 10 years. And I'll explain to you what's going on, because we have a problem, you know. Houston, we have a problem. And if we don't pay attention to it, these climate changes are only going to get worse. And it's bad enough that we have to deal with these climate changes, but mix it in with nuclear radiation, mix it in with other toxins that we have, mix it in. The 10 ways, by the way, how to kill everything, happens to be 10 environmental boundaries. Now, when I wrote boundaries, right, when I wrote 10 ways to kill all living beings in 50 years, I hadn't read the scientific journal about 10 environmental boundaries you're not supposed to cross. So this person says, oh, I see you read my 10 environmental boundaries you're not supposed to cross. And I go, no, I didn't read anything like that. And he sent me a thing to, yeah, the same one. Because you don't need to be really a scientist to say, gee, we need clean water, right? Gee, we need clean air. Gee, maybe radiation isn't so good, right? Gee, maybe the ocean needs to be taken care of. Gee, the soil. Well, I already named five of them right there. And these are environmental boundaries that we're not supposed to cross. And we have crossed all 10 environmental boundaries. All 10 of them have been crossed. And I'm going to cover what those 10 are and tell you about it. I might even throw, the GMO thing, the genetic. It's actually, by the way, it's GEO, genetically engineered organism. I'll tell you something about GMO that you might want to know. One of the articles I wrote is not all GMOs are bad. one of the things that's happening legal-wise is that there was an environmental group and a woman's group that took, I think it was Monsanto to court, because there are a couple other companies involved in this now, for GMOs. And it was thrown out. And you know why it was thrown out? Because lawyers said GMO farmers have been using GMOs for centuries. It's totally safe. And that's true. Do you? How many of you people grow anything? Okay, I grow, or at least I used to grow. So when I was growing in, at a vegetable garden, oh, this is a pretty rock. Oh, look at this. This is a pretty rock. Yeah, I like rocks. Where was I? Okay, so when I grew tomatoes, I would take, like I had 10 tomato plants, right? And so what would happen was is everybody would always gravitate to that wonderful tomato plant that they really liked. They'd say, I want that one. I'm nibbling on that one. And I would go, well, why come you don't like that one? I would taste it too. You know, I do a refractometer readings on them, and that particular one would have like 28 bricks. And everybody would go nuts with that. Well, guess what? I would take the seeds from that. Seeds and grow them again. And again, and take the seed. And then from that batch, I would do like 10 plants. And that plant, you people say, I want that one. I would take that one and grow that one and so on. Well, guess what? That's genetically modified. Okay? Any farmer versus salt, organic farmer versus salt, saves the seeds and grows them. Okay, that's genetically modified organism. Genetically, the whole genetically modified organism is broken up into three categories, and I will cover them for you. One of them has to do with nuclear radiation. Seeds are exposed to radiation, and the mutation is what they grow. The other one is genetically engineered, where you add stuff to the genes. And the other one is exactly what I talk about. Any good farmer will grow the best over and over again and get better and better and better. Lettuces, all types of plants on the market now, corn, you name it, are genetically modified. You and I are genetically modified organisms. You're not identical to your parent. The dogs are genetically modified organisms that have been modified over the years to do different things, right? Cats, you name it. So we need to be more specific about what we don't want. That's genetically engineered organisms. We also not a good idea about exposing plants to radiation and then growing that mutation, and you're hoping that that mutation would be really good for you, right? Well, Mother Nature says, no, that's not going to work that way. We're not going to come up with the best plant by doing a genetic mutation. Why don't we do that with humans and see who's the best human that comes out of the genetic mutation? You're going to find out that I have a whole different way of looking at things, and that's good. Yeah. So I'll be talking about that. That's one of my shows is, I'm not sure how to name it, but it's all that has to do with environmental alert. Okay, and I want to eventually talk to you about, when I talk about the, what the frack, I'm going to talk to you about methane and the fact that we can't breathe methane and that the fact that the earth is spewing out methane like it's never happened before. Last time it spewed out methane was like 40 million years ago, okay, when the earth was covered in methane, right? And the only reason why we're here is through a combination of really great things that happened. I doubt it will happen again, but there was organisms that ate methane, and guess what they produced? Oxygen. That organism is only one place in Earth that has them. They've been slowly dying. There's only one place that has this organism left. So we don't have that organism or ability to take methane and convert it into oxygen. And you think that carbon, CO2, is a problem with the environment. Nuh-uh. The Earth has gotten so warm. We have changed the environment so much. Look, the last time we had an ice age, it's called the Little Ice Age. Little Ice Age. It was 500 years. That happened when the folks in Europe was expanding. They cut down a lot of the forests in Europe. The only place they didn't cut down was the Black Forest because that was evil and sacred. Nobody can go into it and all that stuff. In Germany, I think it was. But they were cutting the forest down left and right in Europe, and that caused enough of a change to have a climate change, a global warming. It's called the medieval global warming. And it's exactly during the medieval times, medieval global warming. That was followed by 500 years of an ice age called the Little Ice Age. that 500 years spanned quite an area, and there were lots of things happened there. Towards the end of it, it was during George Washington's time. There's a picture, there's a portrait of him rolling across the Delaware, dodging icebergs, little icebergs in the river. And there's also a story about Napoleon and England. They had a really, really bad winters, year-round winters. That was the Little Ice Age. And what we've done now is nothing. What they did then is nothing compared to what we've done now, okay? Nothing compared to what we've done now. Because we seem to be doing everything wrong. Like, I used to tell people we're sitting on a branch and cutting the branch. But now I'm saying, the heck with the branch. We're sitting on the branch. We're cutting the tree. And that's bad. You know, this, we're doing so many different things. Soil is one of them. Soil pollution. That's number six, right? Soil pollution. And people don't understand that our current farming practices is one of the causes of this. Deforestation, right? What happens when you deforest an area? You take away the trees. And the trees do what? Taking carbon dioxide, give off oxygen. So you're going to have less trees. And then you damage the soil. Carbon sequestration. That means when you take carbon in the air and put it in the soil. Guess what's been happening for centuries? Carbon's been going into the soil. Guess what happens when farmers do? They rototill. Guess what happens when you rototill? You release the carbon. Release the carbon! Like release the Kraken, right? 20% of the carbon in the air is through bad farming practices. Ocean. The ocean absorbs carbon all the time, or at least it used to. Now with the way we've changed the ocean, we've changed it a lot. We changed it so where with all the plastic and all the pollution and everything that's going on there now, temperatures and all this stuff, we've changed it so that it can no longer hold the carbon. It can no longer hold the, it's giving it off. One of the reasons why we have this climate change, right, is the difference between salt water and fresh water. And don't get me started because I can talk for hours, but salt water and fresh water, you have the Gulf Stream. What is the Gulf Stream? Salt water. What are icebergs? Fresh waters. What happens when you get really hot and you melt the icebergs? Well, they've dumped millions and trillions of gallons of fresh water into the salt water. The Gulf, only reason why the Gulf Stream works is because salt water sinks. Salt water rises when it's hot, sinks when it's cold. That causes a cycle. That causes the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream is the climate controller. What happens if you dump fresh water in? Fresh water does not sink or rise when it's cold or hot. It stops the cycle. As soon as you stop that Gulf Stream, wham! Mother Nature will say, okay, we're gonna do this, and then we're gonna do that. Because one of the reasons why ice age are always followed by global warming. Because global warming produces more and more water in the air. Eventually, because you have a little, certain, you know, for example, the Arctic is getting colder and colder. You can say, well, how come it's getting colder and colder? The Earth's getting hotter and hotter. Well, you have to understand, water has to go somewhere, and it will freeze, be more and more water in the air freezing. So eventually you can have a long, and this global warming coming up now, 500 years is nothing. We could be going to thousands and thousands of years. You think this is going to be over in 20 years? You think everything will go back to normal in 100 years? How about 1,000 years? You think everything will go back to normal in 1,000 years? I don't think so. Global warmings have gone for tens of thousands of years. Ice ages have gone for tens of thousands of years. There was an ice age that covered all of North America with thousands and thousands of feet of ice, higher than the Empire State Building. That doesn't happen in 100 years. And what's really worse is bad enough that we have to go through this change, right? Just imagine we only have to go through this change. You go, well, I suppose we can adapt, figure out a way to do it. You know, wear helmets, wear spacesuits, have living enclosures where you don't go outside anymore, and everything will mellow down again. No, it ain't going to happen because we also are building more nuclear power plants. You know what happens when you have extreme heats? Electricity goes out and the power plant itself goes out and you have nuclear radiation everywhere. That radiation is going to last for tens of thousands of years. And then you're going to be in an ice age. So you have a nuclear ice age. Wonderful. What else do we need now? Why don't we piss off some aliens and make them come after us too on top of that, right? And people think, well, we can evolve in a radiated environment. Good luck. So human race, I think, is going to be reaching its end pretty soon. But the human race has the ability to – I can't really say we're the most intelligent beings on the planet, okay? We can be. Intelligence to me is not, polluting the garden you're in. The frog does not pollute the garden, the water he lives in. That's intelligence. We're not. We're the cancer of the earth. We are the cancer. Seriously. And so it's all a consciousness thing. It really comes down to a consciousness thing. So a lot of times I'm thinking, so what's the point in telling people all this stuff if they're just going to do what they want to do? They're just going to keep polluting the environment. They can keep destroying the environment. You have your head in the sand, but your butt's going to get fried. but there's always hope. There's always the possibility of somebody to wake up. That's why the kids are the ones that needs to wake up and say, excuse me, my turn now. It's almost too late. And then they need to just stop. And I'll talk about all these things that we can do. There are lots and lots of things we can do. But right now we're in a very crucial space. We need to say, we're not going to fight anymore. We need to stop fighting each other and pay attention to what's going on. The methane is a warning that if we don't pay attention right now, even if an alien was to come to the Earth and take all living beings off the planet, they will still take a few thousands of years for the Earth to start to mellow down again. It's a pendulum effect. Really, we make the pendulum swing so far to the one way, it's going to swing equally to the other way. Any scientist will tell you that. Any fool will tell you that. I'm thinking of going out with a sign saying the end is near, because I'm telling you, it's near. And so we need to pay attention, and we can fix this problem. That scientist that died really recently that, had the throat, I was in the chair, he said basically it's our destiny to go from planet to planet, destroying and move on to the next planet. Maybe that's our destiny. But I think we can fix this. But we're going to have to just pay attention. Like, we can't be going out. Pretty soon we won't be able to go outside anymore. We're going to be totally indoors. But then we have to pay attention to what we're doing to the outside. We have to stop this carbon setup. We have to stop this coal burning. We have to stop ignorance and arrogance. We have to stop these things and start paying attention to what's going on. And we need to fix it. We can fix it, but it's going to take time to fix it. During that time, we're going to be lots and lots of people are going to die. The climate change is going to raise the water. Look, the water goes up just a foot. Just a foot. Southern California is already having a problem. Southern Florida is already having a problem. A foot will put that underwater. Lots of things all replaced would be underwater. Right? And by the way, genetic modified organisms is the solution to help us grow food now. You can't try to grow a crop of corn that can handle the heat and expect it to come up with the right solution in a year. You're lucky if you can grow it in 10 years or 20 years, right? But if you can genetically modify it to handle the heat and to grow good food, then you don't have to wait 10 years. So farmers need to learn about this science so that they can incorporate into their growing. They need to start protecting the earth as much as possible. There are lots of things we need to do. We're not doing any of those things except continuing along the path of destruction. It's like we're on the eve of destruction. So you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. I'm changing the name to, you're listening to Panic. It's panic time. Okay, I'm cool. Don't Panic, It's Organic. Andy Lopez, Invisible Gardener. Please visit my website, invisiblegardener.com, for a magical garden. Let me help you too. Super Seaweed's on sale. If you want to get my free membership, my free book, get the newsletter, sign up for the newsletter, say I heard you on bbsradio.com or wherever it is you're hearing me, I will automatically send you my ebook for free and enter you in the contest. So thank you very much for listening to my show. Here's another song I wrote called Wired, and I'll be back next week. Thank you. Mommy. Bye. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.